It's time again for the Technically Speaking Show with your host, the inimitable J.C. Lampkin. And now here she is, J.C. Lampkin. Sometime.
Thanks for that fine introduction, Ken. Welcome, everyone, to the Technically Speaking program at 1540 AM WNWR, your new world radio station. We're here live in sunny Philadelphia on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon, bringing you excellent technical information you can really use in your everyday lives, whether you're using it at home or in business or simply with your family. This is the place to be on Saturdays at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Ken, how was your week? Was it fabulous and tech-filled?
It was actually tech-filled and craft-filled. I had the pleasure of refilling my ink cartridge.
Ooh, la la.
Oh, it was really cool. It was like a quarter of the expense. What are those people? I just think it's just the two of us. Anyway, I was filling it up, and it was great, and it worked.
What was so great about it?
Because every time I print something out now, I feel like I'm sticking it to the man.
You're sticking it to the man.
Because I'm like, wow, I got getting my printing out for a third of the price, because, you know, buying those cartridges are extremely expensive.
Pennies on the dollar, that's right. Mm-hmm. So approximately how much money did you save by refilling the ink cartridges yourself?
About $20.
Woo!
My cartridges just cost about $30.
Ooh, yeah, mine do too. I have the Dell cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
I used to refill my cartridges myself, and what I would do is simply buy a refill kit. A lot of times if you go to the workshops, the computer workshops or the computer road shows, you can get those cartridges really cheap. But a lot of times you can get the refill information, a refill kit's really cheap too. And they have about four different colors, and they have something that looks like a needle that you use to extract the ink from the refill vials. You extract the ink, and then you plug the ink right into the cartridges, the original cartridges that came with your printer. And that can save people a whole lot of money. Yeah, but it can be a little bit messy, because in order to put a cap back on, for example, for your cartridge, how did you reseal your cartridge?
I didn't have to, because mine goes into some kind of spongy thing, and the original cartridge, there's a slot that it was filled that way originally. So when I finished it, just all I had to do was just put in the thingy.
You didn't have to put a cap on or use any type of wax.
Nope.
Melt a can
nope.
on the wax.
No.
Ooh, that's how we usually do it.
It sits in the printer upright. So it's not a question of like being sideways and draining out. I was thinking about that, because I could have myself put wax in, or and that little seals come with it. But I just wiped it down and wiped it very good, and then I just drop it in the printer. And like I said, because it sits upright, then there's no problem with it.
Wow. For mine, I had to actually melt some wax from a candle on top of the hole and sort of compress that wax and let it cool so it wouldn't spill. The ink would not spill back out of the cartridge.
Another way, if you don't want to do the wax melt, if you have a chapstick, just take the chapstick substance and just put it in. That's like body heat's what makes chapstick melt. So if you just, you know, and it's soft and pliable enough, you can just stick it right on and it won't do it.
I would be concerned. Wouldn't you be concerned about having that substance in your printer, though?
If the lips on your printout, you know,
it'll
be all shiny because of chapstick.
You know. Not to be used for your resume. Do not try this at home.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the paper, you know, like when you carry the paper, have chapstick on it, and then they'll get addicted to chapsticks like regular people, and then you'd have to put chapstick on your printer paper all the time to keep it from cracking. Other than that, I mean, I don't think that'd be a problem. No, seriously, I don't think it would ooze into the ink, because chapstick, the substance itself, is a cake-like substance that doesn't drain or melt. Like I said, it's body heat's what makes it, you know, pliable. So if you just put it in your print normal room temperature, a chapstick doesn't flow.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking about was, I was telling you, is that I used to use the refill cartridges, but now I just go on eBay and buy the cartridges really cheap, because even for the proprietary cartridges, like
proprietary, is that something you put on steak?
Pretty much. If you're really that daring, you can.
I want to get some proprietary.
It's usually something can only purchase from the original manufacturer.
Oh, that was proprietary.
Whether it's software or hardware, yes.
Okay.
So, for example, the ink cartridges I use are from a Dell brand. And as you know, anybody can remake anything these days. So what I did was, instead of using the refills, I go on to eBay and purchase the ink cartridges, the Dell proprietary ink cartridges, for a fraction of the amount that you would generally buy it from Dell for.
So there are two ways people can go to get the cheaper ink cartridges. They can use refills or go on online at eBay.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a couple. And I'm sure that might make Dell pretty angry, but they probably factored that into how many cartridges that they would sell. And I assume that if they wanted people to buy them from them, they would probably make them a lot cheaper than what they are.
I think it's just volume, because you know that a lot of manufacturers make the same things that are sold cheaper under a different name. So,
that's true. You know, another country, toothpaste, everything. Right?
Right. So they probably figure, you know, that's just another mark that they're sewing up. You know, because not everybody's skilled with eBay in the beginning stages of their computer usage, but eBay is a skill that I think every computer user should eventually manage.
Definitely, because it's a great way to sell items that you're no longer using, mm-hmm. and even a better way to buy items that you might really need, but you don't want to pay the retail price on, for example, your Trio. If you are a technical person already and you don't need a brand new Trio, you don't want to pay the few hundred dollars, and you don't have a radio show so you can get it for free from the promotion specialist, mm-hmm. you might want to actually go to eBay and try to purchase your items from there. And we've had this eBay conversation a few times. We even had the dean of eBay on the show last year. We'll probably ask him to come back again this year. And we talked to a 13-year-old at the time who was using eBay to sell items so that he can buy his graduation pictures. So everybody is using eBay. You just have to find out.
Everybody?
Everybody who's anybody is using eBay. Challenge me on
everybody's
that.
Everybody's using
Challenge me on that, kid.
Well, I'm sure that I know some people are. I was passing out flyers today, and I'm sure some of the people I was walking by were using eBay. Oh, I can see the gangsters go, "Hey, I got my Glock on eBay." Yeah, buddy, on the corner talking about their eBay sales. Yeah, everybody uses eBay.
The word is just not out yet. And you gave them a flyer so they listened to the Technically Speaking program, though, right? And again, you're listening to Technically Speaking at 1540 AM WNWR. I'm your host, J.C. Lamkin. And
your co-host, K.E. Houston.
And we'll be right back. But before we go to this commercial break, I want to tell you a little bit about today's show. It's going to be a great show. And one of the themes that we're discussing is, what is your responsibility in helping to regulate public access to technology? And we have about four guests on the show today who are going to give you more information about that. We have Sharon Pickinson, who's the Executive Director of Greater Philadelphia Film Office, Marcus Mitchell, who's the Executive Director of Playfair PA, Cord Bloomquist, who's the Tech Policy Analyst for Competitive Enterprise Institute, and Ben Twiggs, who's the Executive Director of Philadelphia Urban Technology Institute.
That sounds like a lot we're going to learn today.
Well, it's an interesting subject, too. We talk a lot about net neutrality, and we talk a lot about what's an individual's personal responsibility for ensuring that everybody has access to technology, and it stays pretty much free range, you know, what we do on the internet, how we access the internet, how much we pay now for the internet, mm-hmm. and making sure that big businesses don't take too big of a hunk out of it. You know, we want everybody to sort of play fair and only take what they need and not monopolize all of the technology and all of the internet. Before we take a break, too, I wanted to honor one of our MySpace inboxes. We have a message from Shauna Gleason of Missouri, who sent us an inbox via MySpace. That's the MySpace page / Technically Speaking Radio. Feel free to send us a friend request or send us an inbox with your technical question if you want us to read it on the air. And Shauna asks, I love the Technically Speaking radio program, and I love to listen to it via the internet. I stream it from WNWR.com. But I missed one of your shows 3 weeks ago. One of my friends told me that it was an outstanding show and that I should really sign up for your podcast. I had no idea what she was talking about. What is a podcast, and how can I sign up for yours to make sure I don't miss any of your programs? Well, Shauna Gleason of Missouri, we're going to answer that question when we come right back after this break.
Ding, ding, ding.
You're listening to Technically Speaking. When it comes to computers and the internet, this is the place to be. With hosts J.C. Lampkin and co-hosts Ken Houston and Jerome Rogers. Listen on Saturdays at 2 o'clock p.m. at 1540 a.m. your New World radio station.
Phoenicia is an all-natural shea butter skincare product. Phoenicia is unique because its products are shea butter whipped to a luxurious cream and infused with essential oils, fragrances, and herbs. Your skin will feel soft, smooth, and supple. These natural sunscreen products also contain vitamins which nourish and hydrate the skin. You can purchase these products online at phoenicia-tlc.com. That's phoenicia-tlc.com.
Gypsy Lane Technologies is a professional internet solutions provider. Just call us at 215-843-1039. For the past 10 years, we've built a reputation for creating positive returns on investments for our clients. If you're serious about your web design success, we can get you there. Gypsy Lane Technologies' business-driven approach separates us from typical web design companies. Gypsy Lane Technologies specializes in best-in-class web design, online marketing, flash multimedia, corporate identity, and print graphics. Gypsy Lane Technologies features an integrated team of web consultants, creative designers, writers, programmers, and marketing professionals that know how to get online results. Just call Gypsy Lane Technologies at 215-843-1039. Strategic planning, top designers, personal attention, competitive pricing, real world results. Just call Gypsy Lane Technologies at 215-843-1039 or review samples of our work at www.gltmypc.com. Discover the Gypsy Lane Technologies difference.
We're back with the Technically Speaking Show, and here she is, J.C. Lampkin.
That's right. We're here at WNWR, 1540 AM, your New World radio station. If you need to speak to us in studio, feel free to give us a call at 610-667-9697. And Ken, one of the questions that we got from our MySpace friend is Shauna Gleason of Missouri was, I love the Technically Speaking program. I love to listen via the internet. I missed one of your shows 3 weeks ago. One of my friends told me it was outstanding and that I should sign up for your podcast. What is a podcast, and how do I sign up for yours? And we're going to answer that question in just a minute. But first, we want to honor one of our guests that we have on the line. We have Sharon Pickinson, who's the executive director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. Sharon, welcome to the Technically Speaking program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
My pleasure. Sharon, why don't you tell us what the Film Office does?
We're the organization that's responsible for all the film and television and video production that goes on in the region. We're the ones that attract the filmmakers to come here and make their movies and TV commercials and documentaries and TV shows. Everything that's a moving picture is our responsibility, and making sure that they hire local people and spend their money here and pay their taxes and have a great time and tell good stories about Philadelphia.
Oh, that's amazing. Ken is my co-host Ken Houston is a real film buff. Ken, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was just curious, when you said the region, how broad is the region that you represent?
Well, officially our region is five counties. It's Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, and Philadelphia. Unofficially, we think of it as everywhere where our local filmmakers can live in the area and work on a production and sleep in their own bed at night. So they might live in South Jersey or in Delaware or even farther out in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Great. Now, Sharon, you have a certain bill that you're proposing in Pennsylvania, right? HB 1528 and HB 1529?
That's right. Those House bills are making their way through the Pennsylvania legislature as we speak. We're very, very excited about it. It's a statewide program that will improve the incentives in the film industry to make sure that we stay competitive with other states and other countries and are able to really build on the film industry that's grown here over the last 15 years.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, what can everyday local citizens do to help promote the bill?
Well, we really need your help. It's crunch time. We're trying to get these bills passed with the current Pennsylvania budget, which is being considered right now, and will happen sometime between now and the first couple of days, perhaps, of July. So it's really crunch time. So we need people who love to see production in this area, who really understand that that not only is it great to have movie stars in town, but it means jobs for all Philadelphians and everyone in the region, really working in this very exciting industry, even if they're in hotels or just friends of people who work in film. There's so many different areas. If they could go on our website, the Film Office's website, which is film.org, www.film.org, you'll see it right top and center. It's help us support the legislation. Click on there, and we've set up letters for people, whether they are an actual film production person, a friend of somebody or family member, a student filmmaker, or someone who's interested in film, or just a fan. We've basically given you a letter that you can change, edit, add to, or just send as it is. And you can find out who your Pennsylvania legislators are. With another couple clicks of the mouse, it tells you just how to do it. And you can send your letters, which will really help tremendously. We have a big rally coming up, too, you may have heard about.
In Harrisburg, right?
That's right. We're on Tuesday. We are from all over the state. We're rallying in Harrisburg at the state capitol on the steps by the fountain. And we're providing free transportation for Philadelphians who want to go up there and show our legislators just how important this business is to the Philadelphia economy, to the region's economy, and to the well-being of the state in general. So they're coming from all over the state.
Wow, that's great. Free transportation. Where can a person RSVP?
The best way to RSVP is to either send an email to rally@film.org and let us know how many people you will be and whether you'd like to pick up the bus either at Electric Factory Concerts in Philadelphia or out at King of Prussia Mall, whichever location's better for you. When you email us or if you call 215-686-2668. And if you call today, just leave a message. And the best way to get back in touch with you, or again, email, we'll make sure you have exact information. The buses are going to be leaving at 8 a.m. on Tuesday from Electric Factory and 8:30 from King of Prussia Mall. So please grab your kids, grab your aunts and uncles, and come with us to Harrisburg.
That's right. Remember, everybody, it's really important to support film.org, and most importantly, to ensure that a lot of revenue is generated for Philadelphia, that we can continue to allow people to have jobs, allow the world to see what Philadelphia can do, and to show Philadelphia in a positive light. So this is a really important bill, and really important that everyone gets involved.
Yes, it's not only the film and films itself generate employment, but like you said, it advertises Philadelphia throughout the world.
That's correct.
So when people are looking for a place to plant their business or their home or their lifestyle, you know, Philadelphia, the name Philadelphia is in the forefront.
That's right. And we're speaking with Sharon Pickinson, who's the executive director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. Sharon, could you give the contact information one more time, the website, the email, the phone number?
Absolutely. The website, all the information's on the website, mm-hmm. which is www.film.org. If you want to join us in Harrisburg or you want to know more about that for Tuesday, you can email us at rally@film.org. Or you can give us a call at 215-686-2668.
Sharon, thanks again for joining us on the Technically Speaking program.
Well, I'm delighted and really appreciate your support, and hope to see you all in Harrisburg.
Thank you. Have a fabulous tech-filled week.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. And so we're back to the podcast question. Just to remind everybody, we had an inbox on our MySpace page. That's myspace.com/technicallyspeakingradio. And the inbox from Shauna Gleason of Missouri, who said that she loves listening to the Technically Speaking program via the internet on WNWR.com, but she missed one of our shows 3 weeks ago. She indicated that one of her friends told her that the show was outstanding, and I'm sure it was. So she wanted to know how she could sign up for the podcast. What is a podcast and how does she sign up for it? Well, a podcast is just a digital media file or just a series of digital media files that are distributed over the internet using syndication feeds for playback. So you can download it onto your portable media players or personal computers. And it's just like sort of having radio right there when you need it, or a newspaper right there when you need it, real time. So for example, for this radio show, the Technically Speaking Radio program, if you were to go to our MySpace page and you clicked on the syndication symbol, so the little orange symbol that says click here, you can download a lot of our previous shows, and you can stay up to date on upcoming shows. So it's a great way to stay really up to date on not just radio shows, but actually what we call blogs, which are weblogs, which are sort of journals or online newspapers. Let's just call them online newspapers that a lot of people have. So podcasting is the wave of the future. I know a few people were using it way before it became so popular, but right now podcasting is really the way to go. I want to thank Shauna Gleason for her question, and right after this break, we're going to hear a little bit more about not just technology, but how you can get involved with ensuring that technology stays free, well, practically free. And we'll be right back right after this break. Computers and the internet. This is the place to be with hosts J.C. Lampkin and co-hosts Ken Houston and Jerome Rogers. Listen on Saturdays at 2 o'clock p.m. at 1540 a.m., your new world radio station.
You don't need a computer or internet connection to load CDs onto your iPod. That's right. With iLoad, you load your CDs directly onto your iPod without using a computer or internet connection. It's fast and it's easy. Just connect your iPod to iLoad, insert your CD, and press go. It's really just that easy with iLoad. Finally, make loading your music as easy as enjoying it with iLoad. iLoad is not available in stores, so call now to have your iLoad delivered tomorrow. Call 888-324-7979. That's 888-324-7979. Or visit iload.com. That's iload.com. Or call now, 888-324-7979. What a great gift. That's iload. Call 888-324-7979. Get yours today.
The Technically Speaking Show is brought to you in part by Creative Conflict Consultants, specializing in conflict analysis, skills training and enhancement, staff development, and continued education credits. Contact Diane at 215-266-8634.
Help, my computer's running slow. I just started a business and I need a website. I need a laptop and I can't figure out mail merge.
Does it sound like you? Does your PC need to be rejuvenated? PPT support at 215-221-9000 is your one-stop service. We add value to your business or home PC by having regular maintenance and expert technology available. Visit us at www.pptsupport.com or give us a call at 215-221-9000.
The Speaking Show is brought to you by Breaks While You Wait. We're not just breaks. We're not just breaks. We're not just breaks. We meet all your car care needs. Come visit us at 4201 Carlisle Street, Broad and Hunting Park, or give us a call at 267-265-4010.
Summer is here, and travel, busy airports, sandy beaches, and splashing water are no place for your technology and valuables. Need rugged device protection? OtterBox has cases for iPods, smartphones, PDAs, laptops, and other devices with interactive waterproof protection. For more information, call 888-695-8820 or visit us online at otterbox.com. That's 888-695-8820.
And we're back with the Technically Speaking Show. And here she is again, J.C. Lampkin.
So that was a really...
Where keep coming from?
That was a really interesting last segment, wasn't it, Ken?
That was fascinating.
Yeah, I loved hearing about what the film office does for Philadelphia, because a lot of times we have different departments in Philadelphia or even in Pennsylvania. Heck, even in the United States, and we're never really sure what they do.
I know, but that started shortly after Rocky. That's how long it is. It started after the first Rocky, and then some more people came into town, and they got the idea, hey, let's do a film. They're just like one person doing it, and it then grew and grew and grew.
Yeah, cool. I forgot to hit her up because, you know, we do independent films at whatthepeoplereallythink.com. Mm-hmm. I forgot to
Well, another thing that's interesting is I was thinking about on the end of the bike trail as you get to Valley Forge, there is a historic site, which is like an earlier film studio that dates way, 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 way back, like to the beginning of the film industry.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I have to go check that out. Mm-hmm. Well, we have in this segment Marcus Mitchell, who is the executive director of Playfair PA. And Marcus is going to tell us a little bit more about what Playfair PA is. Marcus, welcome to the Technically Speaking program.
Yes, welcome aboard, Marcus.
Hi, JC. Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Marcus, why don't you tell us what Playfair PA is?
Playfair PA is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization of individuals and companies that want Pennsylvanians to have more choice, competition, leading-edge technology, and quality jobs. Also reduce taxes and try to streamline government regulations.
Great. So what are Playfair PA's core principles?
Well, we have five core principles. First is giving consumers maximum choice. We believe that creating an open marketplace gives consumers a choice and reduces prices. Facilitating competition in the workplace, that goes hand in hand with our first principle.
Definitely.
We want to have open competition because, again, that means more choice, better quality merchandise for consumers, better quality services. When there's competition, and frankly, the sellers are trying to get your dollars. Third principle is advancing technological transformation. Mm-hmm. Throughout modern history, whenever there's been any kind of advance in technology, it's followed by a boost in the economy.
That's right.
Back in the 80s and the 90s with the internet and dot-coms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, anytime we have any advance in technology, we see that occur. The fourth principle is generating quality jobs in Pennsylvania. We want to have not just, any jobs, but quality jobs, and many times that's connected to advances in technology, new business techniques, that type of thing. And competition, again, in the marketplace promotes that. And the last principle that we have is minimizing taxes and government regulations. When you minimize taxes, that usually means that you're enabling small businesses, usually, which account for about 90% of the jobs out there in the workplace, to put that money back into their operations and maybe hire other people. Also, when you reduce government regulations, that promotes business. So, and we're all about promoting business and the marketplace.
Now, going back to speaking on advancing technological transformation, as you know, the need for technology increases every single day.
Yes, absolutely.
So how do we ensure that there are no barriers to that, that there's nothing standing in the way of people getting access to that technology?
Well, one of the objectives of Playfair is we're going to point out those barriers whenever they exist, and we'll let lawmakers know, and we'll support public policies that support those issues to remove barriers. So, but one of the things that I hope that the listeners will do is to look at our website, which carries lots of this information, and there are newsletters and articles from the media that are put there, and upcoming meetings that affect public policy in these regards, and it's about educating the consumer.
Why don't you give our listening audience the website address?
Our website address is playfairpa.com. That's PlayfairPA.com.
Okay, now Playfair PA accepts memberships, right? Who should join Playfair PA, and how can people join?
Well, people should, anybody who's interested in affecting some of these changes, I would suggest that we take individuals, we take companies. We're looking for small businesses, corporations, anybody who's was affected, which is basically all of us, by the marketplace.
Right.
And you can come to visit our website, again, which is playfairpa.com, and there is a place there where you can sign up. We'd like to have your email so that we can keep you abreast of these issues, and we'd like to, we're looking for people to sign up and join this coalition.
Now, are there any current issues that Playfair PA is examining?
We're looking at several different issues. One of the things that that's kind of at the forefront for us are the electric company caps that are going to be relinquished here in Pennsylvania in the next few years, between 2010 and 2011. Mm-hmm. And there are actually some, I have an article here from off of our site that talks about the issues here in the Philadelphia area. And this article was released on May 14th. It says, PECO applauds PUC's efforts to manage electric market changes for customers. Mm-hmm. PECO applauds the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for its recent steps to help customers manage the transition to the market based pricing in 2011 following the expiration of more than 10 years of rate stability provided by deregulation.
Wow.
Specifically, the Commission's approval of final default service regulations will provide the framework for utilities like PECO, mm-hmm. who must purchase energy for customers who do not choose to receive electric supply from an independent energy marketer. So some of the specific commission actions for that day were the option for consumers to defer some portion of a rate increase.
Yes.
The ability for utilities to purchase energy on behalf of customers mm-hmm. in ways that are best for each individual service territory.
Mm-hmm.
For example, securing energy through staggered purchases and competitive auctions. Now, PECO, there's a $5 million funding statewide for consumer education around this issue.
Mm-hmm. And what's happened with that money?
Well, that was just approved, so it's starting to be implemented now.
Okay.
But these rate changes will take effect January 1, 2011, and PICO is charged with educating the public about these changes and, you know, options that consumers have between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But more immediately, other customers in other places have been hit back at the end of May.
With higher rate increase?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Here's another article that says a state seeks to soften pain from electric bill shocks.
And is Playfair PA the only organization that's really looking out for consumers this way?
Yeah, to my knowledge, Playfair PA is the only organization that's looking at these issues and trying to educate the public about these type issues.
Well,
and promoting these issues in the marketplace. So.
Well, it sounds like Playfair PA is definitely the organization where I think not just other organizations and not just businesses, but individuals will want to look into, because we all care about our rates. We definitely care about how much we're paying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there are other issues as well. These issues may affect folks in the metropolitan areas in the state. Playfair PA covers the entire state of Pennsylvania. And there are rural communities which are faced with electric easements for power lines, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are issues with transportation, mm-hmm. Which fall under PUC jurisdiction as well. All types of issues. Remember, we're talking about the marketplace, which affects all of us. It's the economy.
Well, I know I'm going to go to playfairpa.com to find out more information, also to get more involved, because there's a tidbit of information that you told me last week about what's going on in King of Prussia with their transportation. I had no idea that fell under the PUC jurisdiction.
Yeah, the PUC, there are many, many issues that fall under the PUC.
Mm-hmm.
All of the public utilities, the gas company, and in Philadelphia, that's one of the issues that we'll be examining, the gas prices for heating. Everything is that's maybe not on people's minds right now, but it will be in
that's
the next
right.
few months.
Believe me. Well, Marcus, we really appreciate you taking the time to call into our show and to tell us more about Playfair PA.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And please, everyone, please visit our website, playfairpa.com.
And have a fabulous tech-filled week.
You too. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining
bye,
us, Marcus.
Bye, Ken.
So that was Marcus Mitchell, who's the executive director of Playfair PA, who's telling us a little bit more about not just technology, but about utilities, too, and how we should become more involved with regulations and what happens with these companies and how it directly impacts us. You're listening to 1540 AM WNWR, your New World radio station. And when we come back from this break, we'll hear from Cord Bloomquist, who's the tech policy analyst and assistant to the president of Competitive Enterprise Institute. You're listening to the Technically Speaking program. I'm J.C. Lampkin. And
this is K.E. Houston, and you can call us at 610-667-WNWR if you'd like to hear.
You're listening to Technically Speaking. When it comes to computers and the internet, this is the place to be. With host J.C. Lampkin and co-hosts Ken Houston and Jerome Rogers. Listen on Saturdays at 2 o'clock p.m. at 1540 a.m., your New World radio station.
Phoenicia is an all-natural shea butter skincare product. Phoenicia is unique because its products are shea butter whipped to a luxurious cream and infused with essential oils, fragrances, and herbs. Your skin will feel soft, smooth, and supple. These natural sunscreen products also contain vitamins which nourish and hydrate the skin. You can purchase these products online at phoenicia-tlc.com. That's phoenicia-tlc.com.
Gypsy Lane Technologies is a professional internet solutions provider. Just call us at 215-843-1039. For the past 10 years, we've built a reputation for creating positive returns on investments for our clients. If you're serious about your web design success, we can get you there. Gypsy Lane Technologies' business-driven approach separates us from typical web design companies. Gypsy Lane Technologies specializes in best-in-class web design, online marketing, flash multimedia, corporate identity, and print graphics. Gypsy Lane Technologies features an integrated team of web consultants, creative designers, writers, programmers, and marketing professionals that know how to get online results. Just call Gypsy Lane Technologies at 215-843-1039. Strategic planning, top designers, personal attention, competitive pricing, real world results. Just call Gypsy Lane Technologies at 215-843-1039 or review samples of our work at www.gltmypc.com. Discover the Gypsy Lane Technologies difference.
Hey, we're back with the Technically Speaking show. And don't forget, if you have a question about computers, technologies, or what your kids are doing or saying on a computer, what their computer speech is, what's the latest device on the market, and if you should get this or that, you can call us at 610-667-WNWR or call toll-free at 1-888-667-WNWR. And now here she is again with her co-host, Ken Houston. J.C. Lampkin. Yay.
That's right. And we're talking about what's your responsibility in helping to regulate public access to technology. And we have on the line joining us Cord Blomquist. Cord, welcome to the Technically Speaking program.
Thanks for having me on, J.C.
My pleasure. Cord, before we get started, why don't you tell us what net neutrality is?
Well, Bob Kahn, who's the inventor of TCP/IP, the protocol that really runs the internet, has called net neutrality a regulatory slogan. And that's really my opinion, that it's something put forward by people who want regulation because they feel like that regulation will help their businesses. And I think that's at the expense of others.
Right. So what is regulation for, say, for a person who's not used to using the internet or uses the internet freely? Why would that person be concerned with regulation?
Well, we should be concerned about regulation when it sets up a barrier to businesses investing more money into the internet.
Mm-hmm.
In the last few years, speeds in DSL cable modems have gone up incredibly. DSL now costs half the price it did 2 years ago,
right,
and it's twice the speed. Cable has remained about the same in price, but has tripled in the last 2 years, and that's because of incredible investment on the part of these AT&T, Verizon, other cable companies,
mm-hmm,
putting money into the internet. Anything that stops them from doing that means that our internet's going to be the same slow speed it is now. I'd like to see it get faster and faster.
Me too, definitely. The faster the better for me. So why don't you tell us who benefits from that neutrality then, Cord?
Well, I think that that big content companies such as Google and eBay, who have been pushing net neutrality, think that they're going to benefit, but I don't think they'll benefit in the long run.
Mm.
Their idea is that the regulation, which will prevent internet service providers, your DSL company, your cable company, other providers,
mm-hmm,
the net neutrality regulation will prevent those ISPs from charging groups like Google, Amazon, Walmart's rolling out a new online movie store. It'll prevent them from being charged for all those movies, games, other things that they distribute on the internet. But I think that Google Amazon, eBay, these companies hurt themselves in the long run because they need a robust, fast internet to get their product out to people.
Right.
And by discouraging investment in faster DSL and cable modem, cable speeds, they're really hurting themselves. So I think that in the end, net neutrality is a lose-lose-lose situation, and that it might be a short-term gain for some companies, but in the end, it's really going to be a loss for all of us.
Now, what about the lack of competition in broadband?
Well, I think that's a good question. There's been a lot of new technologies rolling out, and I think the lack of competition is really exaggerated. Something like an 80% of U.S. zip codes, there's more than just two companies fighting over our DSL or our broadband internet dollars.
It certainly is.
People like to think it's just DSL versus cable, but for example, in Dallas, Google is now backing, ironically, a new broadband rollout that will actually transmit broadband internet over power lines.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of utilities working on that. I think that certainly a lack of competition is a problem in some isolated areas, but passing a regulation like this that would discourage investment in the internet is not what we want to do to encourage competition.
Well, how will the government enforce net neutrality then?
Well, I think that's the biggest concern.
Mm-hmm.
The government doesn't want companies, internet service providers, to provide tiered access. So you pay a little bit because you only use email, let's say, and browse a few web pages a day. So,
right.
You know, you pay $25 a month, whereas I have a big company that needs to have hundreds of employees access the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might want to pay more for faster access. The government doesn't want that to happen under this net neutrality regime, and it also doesn't want anything prioritized. So let's say a doctor's working from the West Coast with a patient on the East Coast over the internet. They don't want that prioritized over a kid downloading music.
Right.
The only way the government can enforce that sort of thing is basically spying on all of our internet traffic.
Oh, no, we don't want that. They can barely control their own email.
The Pentagon just had an email breach recently. Their email system was hacked. So if the people in charge of defense can't keep their network
right.
under control, I don't think we want them prying into the rest of them.
Absolutely. And those of us who are in radio, we're always concerned about free speech. What does net neutrality have to do with free speech?
Well, there's been this idea kicked around that that if we don't have net neutrality, a neutral network, that that internet service providers will act as a sort of gatekeeper to information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we look at the history of media in the country, we can see that there's always been gatekeepers to media, in that people have to pay for these media sources, like newspapers. We've always paid for newspapers. Some are offered for free, but advertisers certainly pay to get those free newspapers out to us, and people pay for magazines and television. So I don't think that this is an issue of censorship. I think it's an issue of people paying for what they use. I mean, the internet is a technology that costs a lot of money to invest in, and we need to pay for that, pay for the services that we use. So if we download a lot of movies and we really tax the internet, we should pay our fair share. And I don't think that people who use the internet rather sparsely for email and web surfing should have to pay the same as, you know, a kid who's downloading music in the basement. So people want to make this an issue of free speech, but we've always had to pay for access to media. And if we don't pay for access to media, well, when you make things free, they get really expensive. I think we've seen that in a lot of socialized systems over the course of history.
Well, we will see. Now, tell us one thing, Court. Is internet neutral today? Is net neutral today?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. A lot of the people who are pushing net neutrality are saying we need to preserve net neutrality. The internet is neutral today, and that's really false. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 allowed a lot more competition to enter into the internet. That's when we saw DSL emerge, cable modems emerge, and the internet really explode. Because we went beyond that creaky, jarbled noises coming out of our dial-up modems, we introduced a lot of competition into the system, and it wasn't neutral. People could charge for different access, different levels of service, just like we expect car companies or other companies to have high-end products and low-end products. We should expect internet companies to do the same. So the internet's nowhere neutral now, just like car companies aren't neutral. You know, thank God we're not all driving around in the same slow gray car.
Well, we really need to get into more of a debate on this subject, Court, but unfortunately we're out of time. But we definitely want to have you back on the show to talk to us a little bit more about this subject.
Well, I'd love to be back on. Thanks for having me today.
My pleasure. You have a fabulous tech-filled week.
All right, I will. Okay. You too, JC.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to the Technically Speaking program here at 1540 AM WNWR, your new world radio station. You just heard from Cord Bloomquist, who is a tech policy analyst and the assistant to the president of Competitive Enterprise Institute, telling us a little bit more about net neutrality. And our next guest here in the studio with us, we're delighted to have Ben Twiggs. As you know, on the Technically Speaking program, we promote technology, we promote those who use technology, but we most of all like to honor those who are going sort of the extra step and ensuring that everybody has equal access to computers and the internet and to training. And we have Ben Twiggs, who's the executive director of the Philadelphia Urban Technology Institute, here in studio with us. Ben, welcome to the Technically Speaking program.
Thank you.
It's certainly good to have you here, and it's certainly good to hear about the great things that you're doing with your program. Why don't you tell us about the Philadelphia Urban Technology Institute?
Well, the Philadelphia Urban Technology Institute is a nonprofit project here in Philadelphia that takes young people and adults and gives them computer training. And also, if they don't have a computer in the home, we try to provide them with a computer free of charge.
Wow, that's amazing. How do you get all of this done, get the training done and offer them free computers?
It's mainly done through generous donations from the public. That's the lifeblood of our program.
Yeah, I know of a couple of different programs that do the same thing, and it really does. They really do depend on the donations from the public, whether it's individual donations or other organizations or even other businesses. I know of one pharmaceutical company I worked for at one time. They actually gave 25 of their computers to a nonprofit who was doing similar work. Is that the type of generous donation you would be looking for?
Yes. In-kind donations, cash donations, it all helps.
Okay. So how would a person get in contact with you in order to give that donation?
You can reach me at 215-681-2825, and you can also go to our website, which is phillyurbantech.org.
Now, you were talking a little bit earlier when we were offline. You were talking about some of the things that you train in. What are some of the subjects that you train in?
We have a course which is an introduction to computers, an introduction to the internet, a Microsoft Office course. There's a professional development course which helps you make a resume, and it tells you about attending a job interview, and, you know, the goal is to make you more attractive to prospective employers.
Wow, that's amazing. How many people can you fit into one class right now?
Right now, we could take up to 5 people at a time. Wow. And we're actually, you know, actively fundraising so that we can expand that to about 12 students at a time.
Whoa, that's great. Now, is there a certain age group or certain demographics you're trying to reach when it comes to the training and the computers?
It's geared towards people in underserved communities. Okay. The age group is from age 14 to 100.
Ooh, so it's all the way up there. Huh, that's good.
How do you get your clients, participants?
I actually go out and get them. I find people, you know, standing on the corner, standing around, or I might be out shopping and I hear somebody complaining that, you know, I can't find a good job. And, you know, I ask people, well, what do you have to offer? And people actually sit there and they're like, you know, that's a good question.
They wonder that themselves, huh?
Yeah, the ones who don't get angry, you know, they say that's a good question.
So have any of your people, let me put it this way. The people who find jobs as a result of your program, what are some of the jobs they've gotten?
We have people who have gotten jobs as entry-level computer technicians. We have people who've gotten jobs in web design.
Hey.
We have people who started their own business.
Hey.
Business? Like, I know some people use their computers to do, like, invitations. Have you had those kinds of people?
Printing, desktop publishing. Mm-hmm. We have people who are active on eBay. Mm-hmm. People who have their own online stores. Mm-hmm. So it's making a difference in people's lives.
It really sounds like it is, and it's definitely very much needed in our communities. I could tell you that. And I'll put you in touch with someone who we had on the show a few months ago. He actually does give free computers to the underserved, too. So that's a really good network of people for you to have. Have you ever heard of BDPA, the Black Data Processing Association?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are all good people, too, doing good work when it comes to technology in our community. Could you give out your contact information again?
Sure. Again, you can reach me at 215-681-2825. Or you can visit our website at phillyurbantech.org.
Excellent. And we really appreciate having you here on the Technically Speaking program, Ben. Appreciate you taking the time to come into the studio today and tell us about the great work you're doing.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Have a fabulous tech-filled week. And Ken, so do you, Ken Houston, our co-host of the Technically Speaking program, do you have any big plans for the rest of the weekend?
I'm going to go home and venture into one of my crafts. So I have some ideas for something I'm going to make, and I'm going to go home and explore making it.
Is it
going
to be anything like a briefcase, maybe a leather briefcase for a laptop?
A computer? It'll be great.
A certain laptop that has a 17-inch screen?
If I could get the computer over here to work on it, yes, but I need the device itself.
Oh, how did your mic get shut off?
Oh, my mic is shut off.
Oh, gosh, we're having a ball here in the studio at 1540 AM WNWR, your New World radio station. You just heard from the Technically Speaking...
cast.
That's right, the cast.
The cast of the Technically Speaking. Oh, my mic's and
all
on
of,
again.
And all of our wonderful guests. We heard from Sharon Pickinson, who's the Executive Director of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office, Marcus Mitchell, who's the Executive Director of Playfair PA, Cord A. Bloomquist, who's the Tech Policy Analyst and Assistant to the President of Competitive Enterprise Institute, and Ben Twiggs, who's the Executive Director of Philadelphia Urban Technology Institute. And we heard from you and our listening audience. We'd love to hear from you again. If you want to visit our MySpace page at myspace.com. /technically speaking radio. Feel free to drop us a note there or call us here in the studio next Saturday at 2 o'clock at 610-667-9697. But now stay tuned for RJ, because RJ has got something to say. Have a fabulous tech-filled week, everybody. Bye-bye.